Welcome to the Cannabis Connection. I am your host, Christopher Carr. Thank you, Santa Cruz Voice, Greater Santa Cruz Massive. Thank you for joining us for another edition of Santa Cruz Music Talk Radio. We're going to talk about the roots of our musical fancies with a good brother. Can you introduce yourself, brother, on the air real fast?
My name is Safa. Safa Modir from San Jose, California.
And I have your, I want to share what, I really love what you wrote. Safa Modir from San Jose, California, based, he's based over the hill, but has roots out here. Grandma's house is in Santa Cruz, based musician, San Jose based and leader of the Beatles, the Bay Area reggae and ska band. He has a cannabis enthusiast. He is passionate about the healing potential of the plant for psychological and mental afflictions that he believes are the roots of humanity's struggles. Give thanks for that, man. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, man.
This is righteous. Awesome. How do you sound? Can you hear yourself?
I may not leave.
Yeah, it's cozy. It's cozy.
Yes, I can hear myself. Thank you.
Good. Very nice. Well, let's just open up a little bit about how did music come into your life? How did you become a player of music?
Man, I feel like sacred thing. I want to ask you these questions.
We can go back and forth.
Wicked talent.
Yourself, oh, dude, give thanks. Thanks. What's righteous is, you know, we inspire. Santa Cruz is a very, like you said before we went live on the air, like you keep coming back to Santa Cruz because there's a decent, you know, reggae scene.
Oh, yeah. And more so than we're decent. It's
beautiful. It is beautiful.
You're a big part of it.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, when I was 6 years old, my dad showed me Elvis Presley.
Cool.
So that was my, I started combing my hair like that, and then I was obsessed with Elvis.
Amazing. So Elvis was the...
Elvis at first.
Yeah.
Then checking out like some James Brown and...
very nice.
Mostly my dad, I have to give thanks. Very blessed that my dad is also a musician. He's a tenor saxophone player. His name is Hafez. Hafez Modirzadeh. And he jams with the Beatles sometimes when he's free.
Nice.
Wonderful talent in his own right. And I've just like, as I've grown older, gotten to appreciate and, you know, appreciate it more just not seeing him as just my dad, but... He introduced me to James Brown, Jimi Hendrix, all those. And then I went...
The classics. Yeah. Strong foundation.
Then I really got into Black Sabbath, Iron Maiden, Judas Priest. I was big metalhead.
When
I was like 12, 13, 14.
One of the founders of Ancestry, Tom, my mom, he played with us from 2010 for... I don't know, almost 10 years. We started in 2010, so it's been 14 years. And very similar story. Loved Black Sabbath. Played that kind of music. Our sound engineer, Robert Kirby, they were in a band together in high school, and it was like a Black Sabbath, like Black metal Sabbath. Vibe. Yeah.
That's the sound right
it's
there.
Pretty amazing sound. I've actually really grown. I wasn't exposed to that, but I was exposed a lot growing up with my mom's record collection. Jimi Hendrix, and yeah, I love James Brown, Tower Power, you know, the funk, the classic rock, psychedelic rock, and some of that singer-songwriter vibe with Neil Young and Crosby, Stills, and Nash, but a lot of Bob Marley records too,
which was
kind of really righteous and got me excited, and man, and what's beautiful is your dad's a player. He's a saxophone player.
Yes.
That's pretty cool. Did he play around you growing up? And
he did. Yeah. And sometimes he's a big fan and student of Ornette Coleman and like free jazz.
Amazing.
That sound. So
okay,
I can dig it. Of course, I love my reggae.
Yeah,
and like. When he jams with us, he's so cool to just fit the idiom. And when he does his thing, it goes out there sometimes. And
it's that free jazz style.
Yeah.
That
it's really intense for me sometimes.
I understand improvisational and
yes.
Yeah, and you kind of have to get ready for that.
Yes, open-minded.
That's cool. I love that, man. It's been it's been a really cool. The vibrancy of Santa Cruz, of all the genres, I think there's, just this weekend, there's a fest, I read the Good Times this morning, and there's a Kaleidoscope Festival at the Vets Hall, which is like five bands line up, which is pretty, We're going to play the Vets Hall Cinco de Mayo.
Is that
coming
a
up
fundraiser with
that's going to be for the Vets Hall specifically. Yeah, so it's nice to see that the local community is also using it, you know, renting it for this weekend. So, and that's a very I love that venue, and I feel like it's an underutilized gem in the heart of downtown, and lots of like we both appreciate the Roots and Midnight played there. This may have been it was like before my time. I came to Santa Cruz at 18 in 2008, so I may have been living here and just wasn't aware. I have a couple years there where I was just a young person, 18, figuring things out, not quite tapped into the pulse of especially the reggae scene. But Midnight would come and play only the Vets Hall for a few years, and there's some really amazing like bootleg recordings of them.
Oh, I
want to
do that.
Yeah, it's a very cool space. And
Bob
it's
Marley, man, like
Civic Center.
Bob Marley and Sublime got me into reggae.
That's cool.
Sublime.
Well, I love Bradley. Yeah, that Sublime. I had Herb Daly here, who is old. Yeah, he's a great inspiration, great teacher. I learned a lot. He always teaches me new rhythms, you know, introduces me to these old classic Jamaican style. We didn't talk about it as much, but he wanted to come on and learn more about, because that Sublime sound is very kind of the root of it's it's a California style.
Cali,
the Cali style, which he's
pepper,
more
olives, trying to go for that, and it comes out in different ways. That's what I love about it. It's like everybody shares that common love for Sublime, for Brad.
Yeah.
And then for that sound, Brad, Bud, and Eric, special trio.
Very special trio.
Sure.
Power trio. I mean, they made that sound much bigger for just being drums, bass, and Bradley on guitar. Pretty fun.
So raw.
Yeah. Yeah, he was burning real bright, Bradley. Yeah. I mean, R.I.P. We wish.
R.I.P.
Yeah.
It just burned too bright.
That's what they say. Sometimes the bright ones burn half as long. Sometimes it's hard. Yeah.
True. Everything happens as it must be. And
mm-hmm.
he came. He did his work.
He did his works.
His impact on all of us.
For generations. There's a whole like genre of music, I would say, or subgenre that was direct from his power trio and his songwriting and
Long Beach Dub. Slightly Stupid.
To this day, they're rocking the festival circuit and bringing up like a new generation of artists. Santa Cruz is very much a part of that, like the surf culture, skate culture.
True.
That Cali roots. It's in Monterey County fairgrounds every year. And so there's that. I really do appreciate and respect that. And, It's been a thread too. Like even my wife, we spoke about it before we went on the air. We're on this family compound, and like her aunt lives at a second house down by the creek, and like you see the Sublime records and her old like Sublime, like from when Sublime would tour through Santa Cruz.
Brad went to school in Santa Cruz for a minute too, and
he talks about paddling out natural bridges. You know? Yeah. There's some he came here a lot.
True.
Santa Cruz is a very special vortex for some really special artists, and the longer I'm here, the longer I realize, wow, there's like so much history. And I understand being on the road, it's been a while for Ancestry, but when we did leave, people would want to like, you know, vibe out and be like, where are you guys from? What's your deal? And we'd say Santa Cruz, and they would just start going off. Oh, Mo's Alley. Oh, The Catalyst. Oh, Natural Bridges, or, you know, Seabright, or Sunny Cove, or, you know, all these little spots. And it, you know, it's like a deep memory for a lot of people. Like,
well, Ancestry is well qualified to represent Santa Cruz.
Give thanks, man. Give thanks. We're inspired. We're inspired, and we want to continue to facilitate. I think what's exciting is there's a lot of beautiful collaboration.
Truth.
Yeah. True. Between groups, and I think we could continue to kind of connect the dots. And I've been doing this show for 9 years, but this year specifically, it's been like every week I'm like, let's talk to a new musician, let's talk to a new artist.
Be reaching if you got me on here.
Well, tell me about the Beethals, man. You guys got the coolest logo with those beautiful leaves in your,
Cannabis Jurassic Park.
It's amazing.
Appreciate you. Beethals, pretty much we started 2018 as the musicians have changed a lot, but more in recent years, like the more same musicians reoccurring.
Nice.
And some of them are like Connor Sablan from Hayward. He works with a lot of big artists as well as being a solo artist himself.
Oh.
And we work a lot with Alex Cortez from Rise Up on the drums.
Nice.
Also John Lachelle in San Francisco. And bass-wise, I usually just get who I can. Who's available. We've worked with Russell Vasquez in San Jose, Steven Moreno from the Rudians.
Love the Rudians.
I'm so grateful. Yeah, Rudians are
It's fire. Cool. So it's amazing. So in many ways, you're like the living representation of that collaborative spirit and the greater like community pulling these great players from all the
Ideally,
different.
Man.
Yeah.
Thank
That's
you.
Cool. That's cool.
So, like, I mean, I've been inspired by Ancestry, your guys' song Ceasefire.
Tomas.
Ceasefire, Tomas.
That's right. He is. Yeah. He's been riding tough, you know, puffing tough. Burning and learning. We live together. That's kind of the inception of Ancestry, was sitting on we lived on Clubhouse Drive near Seascape in Beer Can Beach in South County, Rio Del Mar area. And somehow I was just blessed we were living on Beach Hill in Santa Cruz and moved to La Bahia, which RIP is now like going to be this huge resort right by the boardwalk. But it had seasonal turnover where the Seaside Company would hire people from all over the world to come work the boardwalk every summer. And so we had this really cheap rent at this crazy rundown spot, but it was across the street from the ocean. So it was like, we're living our dream. But then we all got kicked out all at once because that's how it works. It's like.
And Ancestry was already.
This is before Ancestry existed. I was part of this crew of like homies. We had a Victorian on the top of Beach Hill, and there was a surf rock band called the Moon Germs. This is like 2008 when I first started.
Moon Germs.
Super cool, psychedelic rock, surf rock. And those homies, you know, we all kind of like got evicted from this pretty old, kind of decrepit Victorian, but legendary, the 512 on 512 2nd Street. And we did this like, we did our bid at La Bahia, which was amazing, but we all got evicted all at once. And someone in the crew, like somebody's girlfriend, like interviewed for a house, like a super nice house, like totally out of our league. But somehow the stars aligned and we got this house. And because there's a bunch of couples in the mix, we were able to afford it. So like one bedroom, there was two people paying for each bedroom. Mm-hmm. And we like pooled it together. And then shortly after that, you know, the couples moved out. And that's when Tomas moved in. And I was like the last man standing of that original crew that knew the property manager. And so I kept that house going. And Tomas moved in. And we, you know, over time we had like a new generation. And, you know, a semester would go by and maybe we'll get more roommates. And Tomas at the time was writing all these songs by himself and kind of like Beethoven style jamming with whoever, but not really having a band, just kind of like writing. And he and I just hit it off like brothers. Even I remember the first time he came to see the house. This house was on a slope with a deck overlooking the bay. Just a beautiful place, incredible, like storybook paradise, Santa Cruz spoiled. And we're up there.
Reggae beginnings.
Totally. And we did the solar rips on that deck. And then I had a guitar. And he's like, let me show you a song. He showed me a song. I was like, oh, let me show you a song. And that was, in my mind, the beginning. Like, that was the germination of Ancestry.
That's what's up.
And our homie Tom, who was from San Jose as well, came back from community studies. Like, he was down in Mexico doing a foreign exchange kind of intensive study for 6 months. And he was like in Mexico alone in the jungle writing songs. So between Tomas, Tom,
Wow.
You know, when we all came together and jammed, we had like, I think we played our first show and then went into the studio and had our first album all within February 2010. It all just like, it just happened. Yeah.
It was like that, huh?
Yeah, it was cool. So that was like some good memories, man. And that's what it sounds like, you know, in some ways, you guys doing some originals or anything soon come?
We got one original.
Righteous.
Ceasefire.
Nice, dude.
And it was written with similar vibe.
Yeah.
Similar intention as Ancestry Ceasefire.
Yeah.
Just for international unity, humanity. And
yeah, that's right.
Seeing what was happening in Palestine. Not just recently, but people
for a
that
long
know.
Time.
No, yeah, for so many years, it's been something that has just like, it's heartbreaking. And,
yeah.
You're seeing children, and it's something that the whole world can kind of unite over. That's why it's such a gripping thing, I think. I've been a little bit maybe too obsessed lately, but I think a lot of people are because it's so gripping.
Bring that mic a little closer.
For sure.
You sound good, but I want to get it.
We're getting into the nitty-gritty here on Cannabis Connection.
That's right. No, I want to hear you. No, speak to that a bit. I mean, maybe we can talk about history because I don't want to go too far or get too down. I don't want to polarize anyone, but I think if we look at the history, that speaks for itself. Recent history is really heartbreaking on both sides, but very heartbreaking for the children of Gaza and for these families that are just kind of caught literally in the crosshairs of what's but I imagine you know the history well, and I've never really spoken to
maybe
this
not as well as you think, but
okay, well, but just like just some context
a little bit now, and but still you really don't have to know too much, I feel, because
right.
When you see kids getting bombed, if you can justify that, I don't know, like, if you can justify that, really. So, I think no matter who it is, it's like, that's what everybody can kind of galvanize around. It's like, dang.
Yeah.
Big dollars going to bomb kids. What is going on here?
Yeah. Terrible.
And it comes from fear, I think. That's why reggae music is such a beautiful thing, because it can soothe people's souls, soothe their hearts, and bring us together. As you know, I know
healing.
That's what inspires you. Yes, healing.
Yeah. Yeah, we all, fear is the mind killer, and it can spread so virally, and we've had a few weird years of fear. That whole pandemic was a fear saga. And then shortly after that, these aggressions, right, in Europe, Eastern Europe is in a weird way. My wife and I went to Eastern Europe in 2019. Little did we know how much was about to change. We went to Prague, Budapest. You know, we were right on the adjacents of Vienna, you know, right near these old Soviet blocks. And now, yeah, so the war in Ukraine, and then of course the ongoing violence in the Middle East is just such a, you know, it's interesting because like you said, it's been happening for so many decades, yet it's so hot topic.
Yeah,
it's interesting how those things kind of flare up, yet to stay, it takes effort and initiative to become educated, to care,
true.
You know, to stay on. Why this genre of music really appeals to me too, because it is music with a message. It's music with but I love the way you put it, like it can heal and it can bring obviously a positive vibration, and there is something to be said about the one drop rhythm and like some of these, like how things like the heartbeat, you know, of like Nyabingi and the culture behind that roots music. It's very good. I'm with you, man.
Yes,
so Ceasefire is the new and
that's our
the
one
original
and only song.
Yeah.
The other song we have on Spotify is Forbidden Love. Much respect to Ken Parker, he wrote it.
Cool.
It's kind of a more obscure song, so a lot of people think that we wrote it.
Got it.
And we do it Beitel style, of course, and but Ceasefire is really the one right now, and I would like to write more. For some reason, nothing's coming out. I can't squeeze anything out of my head right now. But yeah, we just enjoy doing the covers too. Toots and a Maytals, Peter Tosh.
Yes, Righteous. Yes. And you've been collaborating with, you know, Dub Soldier. Yeah, speak to that a little bit. I'd love to get him on. Yeah.
Dan Arroyo.
Yeah.
There in Hollister. I recorded that song at his home studio there.
Oh, word. That's nice.
He was so patient with me the whole time. I would be like, wait, can you get a little, just take a little reverb off of that? I would like send him so many texts, and he
was
cool the whole way through. And
that's right on, man.
He's the man.
Yeah, I love what he's doing, because he's really becoming prolific in what he can offer people, the community.
Definitely.
That's amazing. That's I think I really love that. Everyone has, like, you know, they have strengths and talents, and it's amazing when we come together. Those varied talents can make a really cohesive package for production, recording, mastering, performance, the coordination of shows. I mean, to be a player in this age is you're the record label, you're the promoter, you're the sometimes the sound engineer, sometimes everything. The actual player, the vocalist, the writer, the lyricist. And that's fascinating, because it really, I'm going hard on trying things out of my comfort zone, you know?
How so?
Exploring more, like, for example, I connected with Big Ups General Flint, the DJ, like, selector, becoming more educated in, like, setting up shows and promotions, and I want to hopefully facilitate events in such a way where it's a whole package, where I have the capacity to have a sound system, and that includes like a whole PA and setup for live music, but also having powered amps and the, you know, turntables and the software and the tech prowess to facilitate DJs like DJ Daddy Spleece or fill in as Smiley Green, you know, just to kind of be able to like provide a whole package to, like, let's say maybe a new venue or a venue that's hesitant. For example, this today, right before you and I linked, I went to the grow shop and got some plant tags because it's that time of year I'm planting my seeds. And the homie was Josh. He runs the shop, and I've known Josh since 2010. And he's like, bro, I'm really happy you're still playing music. Because he's known me since 2010, like when I was a kid playing with Tomas. And he's like, when's your next gig? I wanna come through. And I was like, 420 Woodhouse. And he's like, oh, but no dancing. Because in the good times this week, the city cited them that they can't do shows and they can't have dancing. Because you need, like, licenses for that. I know. Doesn't that sound outrageous?
To sound like, the extremist.
Yeah, it sounds extremist. Kind of, yeah, yeah. It sounds
dancing.
Totally, dude. It sounds kind of like puritanical, weird, like Footloose. No dancing here. They got complaints. Something happened. Somebody complained. And so
people are getting irie over there.
They're having way too much fun. Let me put in an anonymous complaint. They're not the only ones, though. I mean, we have homies at Shanty Shack. I love Button, love Nathan. We have homies, I mean, I imagine any startup, you know, whether it be food or wine or beer or anything that music pairs well with, people may have complained. And so, you know, that's something I'm trying to become more versatile at, is like, how can I accommodate and provide good vibes beyond just my fridge and my bass, you know?
Well, that's very compassionate of you.
Yeah,
because in actuality, from my perspective, your job is just show up, throw down on that bass, play roots reggae music.
Give thanks. That's true. And stick to that,
organize
too.
It like, and like, oh, are they okay with this?
You know, get it. Like, man, it's too much. It's too much. No, I feel you. I know. I'm trying to figure it out. There's a happy medium. And I think the more positive experiences people can walk away with, that sets a precedence, and then everyone calms down and embraces it. Because Santa Cruz was always, We were talking about Midnight at the Vets Hall. I mean, Bob Marley was cited here. And Sublime, like Civic Center. I mean, there's a history of music in this community.
Santa's loves live music.
Big time. Rasta Cruz. And, yeah, so we just got to remember who we are. With cannabis, too, I'll bring it full circle. I had Val Corral.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, of Wham. You know, they gave away cannabis to sick people in 2002 on the steps of City Hall from a DEA raid. So the DEA came with, talk about authoritarian, like, drug war, Babylon, BS. The DEA came and raided the garden that this couple, Mike Corral and Val Corral, started. And the reason behind it is she had a traumatic brain injury and had seizures. Mm-hmm. No Western medicine was helping. Mm-hmm. They started using cannabis for her seizures, and she got better. And then they started giving it to other sick people. And they kind of helped write Prop 215, which built the whole Medical Compassionate Use Act, talking about compassion. Oh, yes. Yeah, so that's Santa Cruz history. And then the feds came to Santa Cruz and put her, you know, AK-47 to her head, and she's in the ground in the garden.
What?
While they chopped every plant. And there were some sick people there.
That sounds very similar to some chopping down of olive trees that happened in another area of the world that's also funded by...
It's full circle, right? Feds, yeah, and yeah, it's a sick...
But people are coming together, man.
Yeah, we're learning our history.
We don't want to live scared of each other and, like, angry and, like... No. Us versus them. We want to unite. And so,
yeah.
But then people are saying, like, well, you know, how can you just be, you know, one sided right now? You know, there's just, it's just the way it is, man, that for some reason, Palestine is representing humanity of like the world of oppressed people, of indigenous people, of just people that want to live together. And then I know people will say, well, they're, you know, they're aggressive, and I'm not going to get too polarized, man. Even though it is very polarizing to see,
it's sad to see
out children.
No, yeah, of course. Well, and what happened with Hamas is also heartbreaking because there was a lot of young people. Yeah. No matter the age,
right? No matter the age,
genocide, hate, killing, murder, homicide. There's no room for that in this world.
Or anything. It doesn't progress. I heard Bob Marley say, like, how am I going to solve a problem by killing somebody? You know, and that's nothing. So true.
Yeah, so
it
true.
It doesn't solve anything.
It actually proliferates, right? Because everyone is connected. Yeah, violence begets violence. And the mentors of the nonviolent, like Gandhi and Martin Luther King, right, you know, right. They had power because they were nonviolent.
True.
You know, and they changed the world.
Very true. There's also Malcolm X, too.
True. And
I know he got more nonviolent towards the end because he could see...
He was very militant, too.
He was very militant.
Yeah.
I feel that there is something good about empathizing with, like, why did this happen? Mm. This is terrible. But let's try to see what the roots of it are that made it happen. I know I'm sure you heard of Nat Turner, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I've heard Nat Turner did some pretty terrible things. However, now there's almost this kind of like a romantic. More open-minded,
yeah.
Hopefully not romantic,
but
kind of just an understanding of like when you corner somebody with injustice so much, their animal side is going to come out. So
that's right.
I'm not condoning that. At the same time, it helps us all to try to understand how that happens, how that comes about.
Yeah, we're capable of so much. There's so much good and so much violence within. We are products of nature. I mean, a lot of this broadcast has been, in a way, trying to rekindle our connection of stewards of the earth, this garden planet, and how we are extensions.
Respect the earth.
Respect.
The sacred earth.
And that includes your fellow human, right? Because exactly. We are the earth.
Yes, I.
And if you start abusing a human that is an extension of this garden planet, you're almost disrespecting yourself and your all your ancestors. And like we always talk about the... When my wife was giving birth, you know, it's a powerful experience and it was a whole natural thing. And, you know, there's so much fatigue and like exertion. And I remember saying like,
glad I'm a dude.
The ancestors are here. Think about your grandma. Yeah, think about, right, you know, right. The ones that have passed. You. And that's when Sophie came out, you know, and there's something to be said is we need 1,000 warriors are behind each person on this planet, and we need to live to make them proud, not to hurt other, you know.
That's an indigenous understanding. I feel that there's a lot of cultures on this earth that are so young or just have not as much ancient culture, roots and culture, that's where that disrespect of the land comes, or the not honoring yourself by honoring another human being like that. And I think that's what we could learn, definitely. Like you just said, the correlations.
My mom's side is Yikaria Apache Nation in New Mexico, and Tomas's family's also from not that specific tribe, but the same. I mean, we're all same tribe. We're all one under the sun.
Yes, but we
have common ancestry in New Mexico. I went and visited his grandma in Albuquerque, and his mom's side there too. And so there's like that. You know, that's a big inspiration in our music, right?
Tomas looks like an indigenous warrior dude.
Yeah, he does. And Maya, too. Yeah, I mean, he's got some of the... His father, Manuel, is... Because, Rasta, I don't mean to talk so much about you and your family on the radio, but I really respect...
We're big fans.
Exactly, because his father is a very prolific poet. And a lot of...
Tomas's father,
Manuel Gomez.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and so you could kind of see where he's coming from with his lyrics and his... Well, and his every generation, they make it their own. But Manuel, like, when we tour, there's a spot in Irvine where he's from where we usually base... That's our, like, home base. So if we go down to San Diego or L.A. or Santa Monica... Yeah, we'll try to get back to Irvine every night so that we're not, like, you know... We're just so that we can sleep and go about again.
That's so cool.
And I usually sleep in Manuel's library. You know, I use they
so
put
dope
out.
He even has a library.
He has like this room. I guess it's like his office, but I could like to think of it as a library because it's nothing but these beautiful texts and it's a lot of history. It's a lot of like Maya, you know, and a lot of religion, a lot of spirituality. Manuel's got a deep connection with like Buddhism and Tibetan. You know, he inspires me just like you inspire me, Tomas inspires me. Yeah. And so that's kind of beautiful. And growing up as a child, you know, something like I'm thinking about raising Sophia, history was not as emphasized in my education. And it wasn't until university that I really started. You mentioned Nat Turner. The other one I look up to a lot is Angela Davis.
And Native American genocide.
Yes. And like
they don't
I learned
teach you that. They don't teach
no,
you that.
No, I had to find it at UCSC when I was a community studies major because I was doing a field study working with at-risk male youth here in Watsonville. And when we were working with youth in Oakland too, so it was kind of like that's when I started learning about the Black Panther Party.
And then
learning more about. So, yeah, I had to teach myself in a way.
Because
the public school,
Bay Area, though, it's a blessing to be from here. Like you said, Monterey County, Santa Cruz area.
Mm-hmm.
People are more. I mean, like you said, Black Panthers came out of the Bay Area.
That's right. Yeah.
So it's been a progressive.
It changed the world.
You mentioned
Malcolm X and. You know, Black Panthers, they would feed kids before school. Right. They would deliver groceries to the elderly. But they also would protect their neighborhoods, like militant.
Terrorists.
They were,
terrorists.
Well, that's kind of how prohibition, this whole prohibition against cannabis is intertwined with racially motivated war on drugs. Which was essentially a war on people. War on people taking initiative to protect themselves because they were not...
They're not protected by the system.
That's right. There was a lack of dignity in the government.
Dehumanization,
which is happening still to this day.
It's still happening.
We have come a lot. It's one step, like, and that's the prophetic nature of reggae music. One step forward, two step backward, living in a Babylon. Because it doesn't quite ever, you have to stay vigilant.
True.
And it takes effort. A lot of people, you know, it gets exhausting.
You feed off of the unity of seeing how many people are with you and saying, yeah, what is going on, man? Why is this injustice happening? And we're not supposed to say anything about it or be upset about it. It's supposed to be mainstream or something. And more and more people are like of all nationalities, of all backgrounds, just human beings are feeling the humanity of this and saying, you know, okay, why are we funding this in billions when we could help out our kids, help out our own elderly, or just healthcare.
Get back to the roots of what government should do, right? Is take care of, steward the youth.
It's way too corporate, man. It's
We're in a tough
for humanity.
Yeah, capitalism has, you know, this comes up in cannabis too, because with legalization, we saw that capitalist side take over the culture. So sad. Even since I've been doing the show, just reflecting on the journey, and in many ways it's still the beginning, because we're in the nascent post prohibition era, yet in a way it's prohibition 2.0, right? Because unless you have millions of dollars in a corporate funded venture capital, people like what all the farmers I look up to and have had on the show, they are barely able to maintain to the point where they actually are pivoting to grow produce. They're like they're going back to the roots, like, because they can't make a living because it's such onerous taxes and the rigorous regulation, and just there's no bread at the end of the day to feed their family. So they have to like grow flowers like tulips, or like I have some amazing farmers that I look up to, and they've started to go produce and grow really righteous food and steward livestock and just become farmers, right? They were ganja farmers for years, multiple generations of ganja farmers. And this generation, because of post-prohibition Prop 64 era cannabis laws, they're just back to just like, we're just going to farm because it's sad. Well, it's sad to lose that connection to the plant that has inspired them.
That's what I'm saying. That's a good thing that they branch out and grow other stuff. However, that's not right.
It's kind of heartbreaking.
That's what pisses people off even more, is they'll see that like billions of dollars are going towards destroying humanity, and then they tax the heck out of the ganja farmers when they're growing some medicine for the soul of people, and
for the love of the plant, and hopefully to
facade is crumbling, man. And Babylon, I think people are scared. They're attached to Babylon, myself included.
Sure,
air conditioning, heater, or
sure,
doesn't necessarily mean we have to give those things up, but there's more than enough resources and
that's right,
good people out here like yourself, good people who just care about other people and themselves. To care about other people is to care about yourself, right?
Yeah, amen. 100%. Yeah, to the In Lakesh is a Maya. I hope I'm not getting this wrong, but we have a
Don't
song.
Butcher this, man.
I know. We have a song in Lakesh is You Are the Other Me. And Namaste in the yogic
tradition. Right?
Yeah, I and I. The idea of to honor the divine in another, to share space with them, but to see them that is divine. Just to be just to be human in this life is a major blessing, and there's a lot of almost opportunity, and with that opportunity is responsibility.
True, man.
And to be good, and to be a human in this lifetime, of all the souls of all the everywhere in the universe. Yeah, there's a reason. I think about that my wife with the baby coming. Like, man, this presence. I knew Sophia. We didn't know the sex the whole time. Even when we went to the doctor, they're like, "Ooh, we could tell you." We're like, no, we want to be surprised.
That's what's up.
I had a dream, and I was walking on the beach, and I was saying, "Baby girl, come, baby girl," and I knew, I felt her. I knew it was Sophia.
You felt that feminine energy or something?
Yeah, it wasn't conscious, right? It was one of those things where like, I in my subconscious state was Namaste. I was I was in Lakesh. I was experiencing the divine that was manifesting as my daughter in this realm, and I knew it was a girl, and I knew she was coming, and I could feel her presence, and I've been starting to feel baby number two's presence, but I haven't had that prophetic, like, I don't know what it is still, but but I think there's a reason why this soul is coming, every generation there's work to be done. Even if it's just living
more clearly, just being more clear,
leading by example, like a life. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's there's a lot of distraction, and there's a lot of there's a lot of potential, right? And so to try to steward a generation to be, you know, to contribute to this wild existence, this nature in motion, this poetry in motion, this living masterpiece on this garden planet,
Please. Well, it's naturally progressing that way. Like, you see, kids are not as compulsively attached to Chinese are like this, Jews are like that, Arabs are like this. It's that used to be an old generation where they kind of were trying to make sense of things in that way. And
yeah, sure.
You're seeing more. I feel people are more just like you said, more conscious these days, more intelligent than that. And yeah, man. And like you said, the way you were describing the birth of your daughter and just feeling her vibes and presence before she
came.
That's
it. Yeah.
That's so, the way you described that so beautifully. It's like I could feel that, and it just made me suddenly reflect once again that people in Palestine felt that for every single one of those 13,000 children.
That's true.
And so I feel that
you could feel the absence just as profoundly as that presence coming in. And that absence, it's a lasting void.
It's a definitely an injustice of some kind. And I think that there's no turning back from this one. I think in the past there have been some, you know, like protests and things like that. However, we've never seen it this globally united. And it's nothing to be scared of. And I think cannabis will actually play a role because what I love about cannabis, and you can probably relate, is that we seem, as human beings, like modern human beings, we got this this cerebral mind that's just, it could get overly stimulated. And we got overthink things. There's no more saber-toothed tiger to watch out for. So now it's like you get a, you know, you're just kind of
ancient future. We have ancient instincts, yet we're living in this information age,
sitting down at a radio show. But so like I feel that cannabis, it can really help for me. I love cannabis because it actually takes some neuroticism away from my mind. I can be a neurotic OCD kind of person, and like I feel that the cannabis can calm the mind. It creates a little bit of spaciousness. This could be something that's super helpful to humanity in these times.
Amen. Yeah. I have so much hope still, and so much drive and love, right? Like one thing we talked about, we didn't talk long, but I feel like we covered a lot of cool key points, is like love. I've been marinating and reflecting on like the capacity for love, and becoming a parent, for example, is one example of how I thought I knew what love was.
What is love, Smiley?
And that's where it's like, what is life? What is the meaning of life? I think love is something that is putting that essence, you know, above that neuroticism, you know, to come unconditionally pure and to provide, you know, comes from the heart, goes to the heart. I mean, these things are hard to put into words, but it can be felt. It's easily felt.
Do you think it could be like an absence of fear, or?
I think it's the opposite. Yeah, I think love is. I know
fear when you're
MLK. Fear, right? Yeah. MLK, man. He spoke to that,
the messenger,
and powerful messenger. And to this day, you know, love is light in the darkness. Love is it's the antithesis of fear, and I feel love is also something that is. I mean, it could be why we come as souls to this realm to learn and to, over time,
to experience that manifestation of that consciousness.
And it takes maybe many lifetimes to get it karma. To know what is love, right? Yeah.
People believe in karma. Karma. That's what that means, right?
Like, and dharma is your duty, right? And dharma is something that I truly believe in, part of love.
What is dharma? Is that like moral code?
Dharma is what brings you back. It's your duty. So if you go through a lifetime and you didn't fulfill, and I don't, you know, these are ancient Hindu terms, so I'm not a scholar in that.
No, like, Buddha talks about that.
Buddha too. Yeah. Like the theology. So yeah, like dharma is part of this, like, you know, purpose in your soul's experience on the path to nirvana. And Dharma is what keeps you coming back. And if you achieve what you were here to achieve,
go to the next level.
You go to the next level. Yeah. And eventually Nirvana. And in many ways, love and spirituality could be the act of letting go.
True, man.
To release that attachment and to release yourself and others from suffering.
What does it take to let go? There must be some sort of
faith.
Yes.
Nice.
Grounding. Yeah, man.
We said it together. Yeah, I think faith is, and a lot of these things are easier said than.
Of course.
Yeah. And that's what it takes. And that's, I'm drawn for this genre of music, and I really appreciate reasoning with you because it's like church. I feel.
Likewise.
I feel it. I feel fired up. I feel, yes, you know, sir. What I mean? Yeah. It's a very cathartic feeling because.
Ancestry 420 Woodhouse. Smiley's coming fired
yes,
up.
Yes, I. We have to. Because to instill and plant seeds of righteousness and to see that grow in our community is, in one way, is doing job works.
Truth, man. That's what inspires us about it. Even if we weren't playing music, Peter Tosh, all of them. They were really about it. They were really
about it. I mean, they were
like a thing, and then they get off.
It wasn't just money, or I mean, there was success, right? And there was ups and downs with whatever Island Records or world tours. But I think, yeah, Peter Tosh, Bunny Wailer, Bob Marley, Family Man on the bass. You know, like Rest in Paradise, and all the children, right? Like I recently. Give thanks to Tomas. I recently experienced Stephen Marley with Damian Marley, and they were singing Bob songs. And to like, wow, like,
wicked.
Just to feel it, you know? And to that for me was a super spiritual experience.
You saw them live? You
saw them the Masonic in San Francisco. It was the first time I'd ever been to that place. The first time I had seen.
It's a cool venue.
Super big. It was amazing. Yeah, we were on the floor, so it was super like. Just like big download,
big vibes.
Yeah. And beautiful experience to experience with Tomas and to you know kind of push me to get out of town and go see.
My invite, man?
I know I gotta get you in the loop. That was our he and I are we're Geminis.
Me too, man.
Oh, you are?
May 24, 1991. I don't know too much about this thing. I'm about to see my grandma after this.
May 26.
She's like, oh, that's because you're a Gemini.
That's Oh, that's cool. Well, give thanks to your grandma. And
we're bipolar. Is that what that
means? We're two in one. Yeah, it's kind of bipolar, okay. For sure. And Tomas is, so I'm born May 26. He's born May 27. And you're born May 24. And then Izzy in our van is May 23rd. We have a lot. Wow, there's like a flurry of deep, deep connections, family that all are like born around the same time.
Give me some wisdom as a conflicted Gemini like myself. What is a Gemini supposed to do with it? I know Tupac was a Gemini.
Yeah. One thing, my wife's more educated about this. One thing, we're air signs. So the wisdom I would instill is to be okay going with the flow, because in a way that's our nature. For example, my wife's an earth sign, so she likes real steady, you know, acts of service, things in such a way that are for the home and grounding and to
practical.
Build and security, strong foundation. She needs that. For me, like, I love what we're doing now.
Artsy,
we're talking lofty, philosophical.
Yeah.
And so just to know that's in your nature and to embrace it and not like OCD about it, right? Because we are by definition of the ethos of the air, the Gemini constellation and the sign itself.
It's called an airhead before.
Well, it all makes sense. There's roots to it. And I don't know how much, but I do see correlations and it's fascinating. Yeah.
True.
And it's amazing too how many Geminis I'm not even intentionally know. It's something we all figure out. You're a Gemini, Tomas is a Gemini, I'm a Gemini. Like, our band is probably
we're the cool one.
Five Geminis in the group, and we didn't know until we were playing gigs in May, and everyone had birthdays every other day. So it's kind of cool how it works out.
Cool, man. Yeah. Much respect, Smiley.
Yeah, give appreciate thanks, you, man. What do you guys got going on as far as anything new to look forward
now you're
to?
Pulling my card. Of not having much not as much ambition as some of these other bands I see out here, man.
One of these days you should come visit us at the Fountain Music Hall when we do these one drops.
One drop Wednesday.
It would be really wonderful to have you, because it would be really cool to just bring you into that interweave. Talking about our homie Dan. So many great groups come, and it's still new, and so we're really hoping to...
Some Micro Tiger musicians as well.
Yes. Sophie's on the bass. Belle sings. Daniel plays the drums. Like, all the homies come. Sand Street Tribe, pretty much all, they all come, and they're all living real far away. Like, Righteous Sister Megan, she's in, like, Merced, she'll come. Yeah. And so I think
Righteous,
yes. It's cool. It's really cool, because at any given time... you'll see a jam, right? And speaking to the words of Peter Tosh and Bob Marley, those are some of the like classic standards that we'll play.
All right, Say No More.
Yeah. And you'll see like five bands represented on every, and then a new song, five new bands are represented. It's like, it's like, what?
It's sick. It's like all-star jams.
It's all-star jams. Yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, it's so who are, dream team.
Who are some of your, like right now, your top three reggae artists that you're enjoying or...
Wow. I mean, Steel Pulse is one of my favorites forever, and I still come through Ina Kamosi, Black Uhuru. I mean, I love Sly and Robbie. You know, I like some of the newer stuff. 10-Foot Ganja Plant.
Oh, yeah. I love the instrumentals.
Fat Freddy's Drop. Yeah, their instrumentals are cool. They're cool. Yeah. There's this whole, like, East Coast group that I was exposed to through Izzy and Tori, these homies of ours that are from upstate New York, and the One Drop Wednesday formula is kind of emulating something that used to happen in Ithaca.
That's what's up.
And so we brought it to Felton. And this,
reggae jam.
It's so cool. Yeah. And usually you have one band that's kind of the house band that provides the back line, but then you open it up. And so we took that model that was working in
that's
a college town.
Jam session.
It's beautiful.
Model.
Yeah, it house works band. Well. You have your house band, and then they get a little practice. It's like, you know, they work some new material, but then you have like, we have like 4 hours to fill. So then you get like 2 to 3 hours of open jams, and you can also feature new DJs and new. We had a band from San Diego come through and play a mini set, you know, so we're featuring Ja'Olin.
Oh, I've heard of him.
They're cool. Yeah, I'll send you.
Right on.
Yeah. So we're all about it. It's just to build and connect the scene.
Yes, I.
And keep it going, man. It's a dream that we're just all living together. Oh, yeah, my pleasure. Yeah, I can't wait for the April one. Will be really fun.
For sure.
We'll be all Irie from 420.
Yes, I.
It'll be 4 days after.
Every day is 420.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Well, we're in our last minute, man. That flew by. It always does. Man. It always does.
Part two.
We'll have to do a part two.
You aren't sick of me already.
No, man. I feel like we just, a lot of these interviews, I feel like we hit our stride and then it's like the last minute. It's like we just hit our flow. But I want to give you the last word. So in the last 45 seconds, what would you like to share with the greater community listening?
First of all, I appreciate you, Smiley. Thank you for having me on your show, man.
Yes, I give thanks.
I mean, that's a good nickname for you. You're a bundle of good vibes. And, man, I don't know what to say except it's a good time for all of us to come together. Yeah. And just try to see the humanity in one another, no matter how we look, no matter what, you know. And it's a better vibe for us, better vibe for the kids.
Yeah.
And we can learn a lot from kids because they don't hold on to as much of that stuff.
No, they're
mix
pure.
Up with each other. Yeah.
Yeah.
They check out each other's interests and, you know, one love ancestry, man. Love
yeah. Give thanks. Baytals. Yeah, man. Full circle. And give thanks to all the community, all the homies we bigged up. We love you and we appreciate you. And we're going to keep these good vibes going and keep building this greater Santa Cruz music community. Thank you, Santa Cruz Voice, santacruzvoice.com. You guys take care of each other. Be most excellent to each other and have a great weekend.